B-Pod Studios.
It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
It's hot, damn hot.
I don't want a hot take.
Pump your ass.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Okay.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, Bring the Heat.
Let's go.
All right. Bring the Heat, obviously brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up, ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you. What's the first one?
Ben Simmons dropped 31 points after being called mediocre, okay, decent, subpar. That kid doesn't need to shoot a three-pointer. He beat an entire team without Joel Embiid, mind you, by just being 7 feet away from the basket. He is transcendent in that aspect. Give him time, and he will blow your mind.
I agree.
Very good. I like it. Keep it going.
Love me some Ben Simmons. Anthony, not only do we know that he can play like that last night, my favorite thing about him, much like Allen Iverson, it seems like he never gets winded.
Yes. Yes, sure. He could run all day, up and down the floor all day long.
Yo, what up, cuz?
I'm a 4-for-4, listening to 9-5 all day, and I'm getting sick and tired of the Ben Simmons hate. The dude wasn't running point tonight and still telling people where to go so they can get an open shot. All these people saying he can't run an offense, can't tell people where to go. He already does it at point guard. He does it when he's not at point guard or when Jimmy's running point. So to the people who are hating on Ben Simmons, tell them to shut up and they don't really know anything about basketball.
You nailed it, baby.
Okay, where are the Stunad Ben haters? I'm calling you out, Stunad. You can't realize his greatness. The grace of Nuria, the killer instincts of an assassin. Listen to music on the radio. Some of the best players didn't have trajectory until their third or fourth year, for God's sake.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Preach on, boys. We got more?
Ben ran the table. Facilitated, scored points. You talk about Ben Simmons in a negative way again, you are not smart.
I have to tell you, I'm enjoying this immensely. But it's not about right or wrong. It really isn't. I'm serious about what I said earlier. That comparing him... Watching basketball to me is watching art. I love the sport. I think it's a beautiful game. And so I appreciate art, but some people may not appreciate what I like. But some people, and we can all sit there and go, that is a beautiful work of art in some way. And that's the only thing. Just let it go. Let it go and then just enjoy what you see down the line.
They made all this big brouhaha about Jared Allen getting his head knocked off by Joel Embiid. Yo, it's a big man making a move. Okay, Jared, Embiid didn't play last night. So y'all should have went out there and dominated us like y'all thought y'all was going to do. But no, baby, we got the ultimate weapon. And you know who that is? Ben Do-It-All Simmons.
Ha, 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 ha. Love it.
Hey, boys, it's the Gabe calling. Today's lesson, timing. Don't worry, Bryce will be just fine. He's going through something. It's okay. We all in life need a little practice, a little timing. Maybe he's thinking about furnishing his house, you know, buying some sconces. Don't worry. Hang tight. We have him for 13 years.
So his Gabe sounds more like... a movie character to me.
I'm trying to figure it out.
And it's driving me nuts.
Because it's not the same Gabe. That's not the George Takei Gabe.
Right. No, this is a different, way different Gabe. And he sounds like a movie character. First of all, God bless him. I love the caller. He really doesn't sound anything like him, but...
kicking ass and taking names.
That Gabe sounds like a really good movie character. And I'm trying to remember who... Play it again, would you?
Boys, it's the boys. It's the Gabe calling. Today's lesson, timing. Don't worry, Bryce will be just fine. He's going through something. It's okay. We all.
All right, I think I got it. Now, this is an obscure movie. Well, actually, it's an old movie. And it's kind of obscure. Did you see the movie where Kiefer Sutherland, all right, has his girlfriend like abducted, and they, and he's trying to find out where he is. He's like they're at a gas station, and the next thing you know, she disappears, and he's trying to find her forever. It's like haunting him, and it turns out there's a serial killer, and he buries you alive. You know this movie?
Is it called The Vanishing?
Yes, that's it. Yes, that's it. Sandra Bullock is the one who gets buried alive. So the bad guy,
Jeff Bridges, also in that movie.
Well, that's what he sounds like. The guy's name's Barney.
I'll try to pull up some audio for you.
That I think is okay. All right, I'm getting silly on a Friday because I can taste that first pint. I'm happy after the Sixers win. We got Tim Legler coming up next, and always great to talk to Legs to kind of break this thing down. Then we're going to run through all of our calls before we hand it off to Mikey. But I'm curious to see what Legs has to say after what was a really, without Joe, a very difficult time for Brett Brown, learning that day that he's got doesn't have his big man. You don't have the big man, what are you going to do? It's a pivotal, right? We all know the odd games in the series mean so much. And so it was pivotal, and you come out, and you got no Embiid. Let's hit them right now from ESPN. He's the greatest. Love when he breaks it down. I was listening to him yesterday on NBA radio, breaking stuff down. The great Tim Legler. Legs.
Ant, what's up, bud?
I heard you on NBA radio yesterday.
Yeah, and I just did 3 hours on NBA radio just now as well, breaking down the game last night as well as the other two games in the league last night, which were interesting series, San Antonio, Denver, and the Clippers and Warriors, obviously. But top of the list has to be what Philly was able to do last night without Joel.
All right, so let's start off. First, the three main characters of last night. We'll start with Ben because, you know, it's a little bit for those people like us that really love Simmons and love what he can do and realize that it's a long play with him. That was nice. That was nice to see. What kind of growth did you see? That's two games in a row where he was aggressive.
Yeah, so they had, you know, obviously game one. You know, you got a list of things that you're trying to write on your whiteboard in the locker room for the Sixers, right, if you're defending them. And one of the top ones, I mean, Embiid probably gets more attention on that whiteboard than anybody. But then for me, getting back and walling up Ben Simmons has got to be an absolute priority. I think he and Redick, those are the two guys maybe even that I target more than Embiid if I'm preparing to play the Sixers, because Embiid's just going to do certain things you can't stop. He's just too good. He's too big. He's too physical. He can overwhelm you from anywhere on the floor. And you could talk about schematically, you know, if you want to hit him with a double team at certain times and things like that. But for the most part, just go ahead and pencil it in. He's going to do certain things. But J.J. Redick and Ben Simmons are two guys that you can do things and dramatically affect their night if you're really good at them. And if you dramatically affect their night, you got a great chance to beat them. And Brooklyn hasn't done a very good job of that these last two games of getting back, making sure he doesn't have gaps and seams, and he's not coming at you with a live dribble with ahead of steam as he crosses half court, because that's where he has lived for the last two nights. And so I look at it two ways. Obviously, from a Sixers perspective, you're thrilled that he played that way and he was that aggressive and he was getting to the rim at will. I also have to look at it from Brooklyn's perspective and say, how can you let that happen on a night when Embiid's not there? This becomes even more of a priority. You can't let Ben Simmons have 13 field goal attempts within 5 feet of the rim. And that's what they did. And he basically took over the game, destroyed them, gutted them, had them back on the heels the entire time. And obviously that then makes the night that Redick had, that Tobias Harris had, possible. And those guys doing that, you know, allow Ben Simmons to get in some gaps. But to me, not getting back and walling him off and forcing him to out of his comfort zone on a night when you don't have Joel Embiid, that's something that Kenny Atkinson's going to have a hard time watching in that film session.
Yeah, yeah. I just think – let me ask you about that front court, because that front court is pretty thin for Brooklyn. I mean, they should be dominant. The Sixers are a much better team, and even without Embiid, that they should dictate play down low. I mean, you know, in game two, they put up 145 with barely any threes.
Yeah, right. No, I know. Look, you give up 276 points in two games. I mean, you know, in a playoff series, come on. I know it's a different world. This isn't the, you know, this isn't the 82-78 games that were in the 90s when I played. It's a different world. I get that, but come on. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, you give up 145 in game two, and we all expected the Sixers to have a great game two and respond. We expected that to happen, and they did, and they were sensational. They made that look laughably easy. All right, then, game three at home, a chance to really make the Sixers feel some pressure if you go up 2-1, okay, and you give up 131. And again, look at the four quarters they had. At no point did you really have an impact defensively where you limited them at all. They had consistent, across the board, four great quarters. And you let three of their starters, by the way, go crazy on you. And Butler actually was really solid. He didn't go crazy. He played well. But you let three of the starters have enormous nights and then also give 23 and 21 out of your two backup centers.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, with 22 rebounds. It's amazing. You know what, Legs, and it's one of the things with Jimmy that you just referenced. Did you notice the game two, game three? Forget about game one where he scores 35. Game two, game three, any time that Brooklyn had a run, who is there to quell the run? And he took the shot. He makes the shot.
Yeah, you're right. And there's something about his game that's so in control.
Yeah.
And so composed. And we've seen it. I saw it at times actually made me uncomfortable with him in the regular season because he's such a great offensive player and he would come through for them late, but he would be so quiet at times. And I used to say to myself, I don't know if that's a great formula, man, that you think Jimmy Butler is going to, you know, ride in on a white horse with 6 minutes to go in a game in which he's taken six shots to that point and he hasn't been in great rhythm. Like, he can't – that's not sustainable for any player to do regularly. So – what he did last night, he was composed, but he was, you know, he had it sort of sprinkled throughout the game. I like that when he has a 2 or 3 minute spurt where he gets you two really key buckets to quell momentum, to like stop anything that the resurgence that looks like they got going on. There's Jimmy Butler. We had a phenomenal, one of the best post moves I've seen out of a guard in a long time. Like that one spin and then the up and under.
Yeah.
My goodness, I mean the footwork and the balance on that was Dwayne Wade like the
yes.
way he. Yeah. Operating there, right?
Yeah.
And so,
great
and then
call.
And then he'll hit a mid-range jumper, and then it's like, okay, now it goes from 8 to 12 again. Like, you know, and rebellion is squashed. Like that's what Jimmy did. I like when he sprinkles it throughout the game. I don't like when he's too quiet. And obviously, without Embiid, he couldn't be too quiet. But there are nights I kind of go, man. I look at the box score at halftime. I'm like, he took three shots in the first half. Like,
that's not
what a star two guard does in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be comfortable with that. But I do think that might be a dangerous formula. I love the way he played last night, and obviously those other three guys. And Tobias Harris was a completely different player mentally without Embiid on the court at the start of the game. You could just see he looked at it like, I can now be really free. They're expecting me to take 20 shots tonight. As opposed to, you know, I think it's a little bit different when Embiid's out there. He's a little bit more tentative. And
oh, yeah.
He was so aggressive last
night. Just sits in the corner.
Yeah.
I mean, geez. It's one of the things that, like, I hate about that offense that they run. It's either Tobias or Jimmy sitting in the corner, and it's not good for either. First of all, Jimmy hates it, and Tobias, you lose him. He becomes a ghost.
Yeah, no, I agree, and he's too good a player for that. And, you know, when he came to Philly, I don't know that Sixers fans that they weren't that familiar with him, you know, knew that it was a big deal because it got a lot of talk, a lot of hype, but, it, you know, who knows how much people had really seen him. And we talked a lot about, oh, these are his percentages off the catch and shoot three. These are his percentages off the dribble three. And I'm saying to myself, I've seen Tobias Harris a lot, and he's a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And there are times he's shown it, but not consistently because he gets a little bit swallowed up in that offense and becomes stationary and a spectator. And if you just decide, well, we're just not going to leave you, it's hard to get shots. That's why J.J., he gets his shots because he runs 100 miles an hour all over the floor, and they run stuff for him. Tobias Harris, he's more of an afterthought in the offense, but last night without Embiid, you could see he took ownership of it, and he's capable of having those kinds of games.
Yeah, which I don't understand why he's an afterthought. I like one of the things that I wanted to see, which is I was happy about last night, is that they run stuff for him early. Because he's a guy that needs to get off early. You get him some touches, get him some shots, and then it'll happen for him.
I could not possibly agree with you more. And actually, Redick's in the same category. And J.J. Redick, I remember one year in with the Clippers, statistically, he was one of the best, if not the best, first quarter player in the league. Like, every night, J.J. Redick would come out and he'd bang out 8-10 points early for the Clippers. Because traditionally, that's a hard time in the game for most guys, like, to get going. It's ugly in the first 6 minutes of an NBA game. Guys are getting loose, and, like, everybody gets a touch. Everybody takes a shot just because they need to get one off. And so you don't see efficient basketball. And Redick is one of those guys that prided himself in working up a lather in layup.
Yes.
And that game would start, and he was running at a different RPM than everybody else, right? So,
wow, that's a great
and
call.
I feel the same way about Tobias Harris. Like, if I'm Brett Brown, I know for a fact – Embiid's going to just get it whenever he wants to. So is Butler and Simmons to a certain extent as well. If opportunities present themselves, he's going to get it when he wants. Harris and Redick need to be a priority. Like, I need those guys. And when I've coached shooters in my life, and I was a shooter, like, I need those guys to see the ball go in early.
Right.
Their night's going to be different.
That's so true. So we're talking to the great Tim Legler, ESPN. Obviously, you know all about him, NBA radio, everything basketball. So overall, after game one, Legs, how do you feel that Brett has responded, really, since halftime of game two?
Yeah, I feel like, here's what I feel like. I feel like there has been very little time in the last game and a half, particularly, that I have felt uncomfortable with any sort of group he had on the floor. I think he's done a really good job of having the right groups in the game. I think they've done a much better job defending the three-point line, which, you know, you go back and it's hard to, like, I don't have photographic memory on every look they got last night, but I think most of those looks were contested. They were extended, and they were not going to allow Dinwiddie and LeVert and those guys, like, and Russell, to just torch them from out there. Joe Harris, who they prioritized. I thought they did a better job chasing guys off the line and extending their defense a little bit. I thought that he had good groups in the game, and then I thought that he had a young star player that had a level and a gear last night and an aggressiveness as a scoring star that took over the game. And is that, you know, give Brett Brown some credit for the game, but I think more than anything, I credit the mentality that Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris in particular had going into that game without Joel Embiid more than anything else. But I do like the lineups he's had out there. I think he's pushed the right buttons with who's playing center and when. I think he's done a really good job of you know, managing a shortened rotation without Embiid out there last night and deciding he's going to go with bigger, more size at the guard. And TJ's not in the run right now. I'm okay with that. I think that's a smart decision. I think for the most part, Brett's now responded well, because obviously that first one was a little bit like, oh, my God. Like, we were all
halftime
of game two, I felt like this should have been up 15 and it's tied. And I'm going, man, this is looking scary right now. And what can you say? The last six quarters, just dominance, man. There's nothing else you can say. They've been unbelievable. That was the one last night that to take control. Now, obviously, if they lose game four, you shrink this to a best of three against a really tough-minded team with a really, really good coach. Yeah, that's dicey. You don't necessarily want to have to go back to Brooklyn. But best of three, two of those at home, I feel he's going to win that series. But let's see now what level of professionalism they have in game four and, like, really put knee to throat against a team that just, you're right, they don't have nearly the talent that the Sixers do.
All right, so let me ask you about Embiid, because, you know, it was the tough thing about yesterday was that everybody thought with the extra day that he was playing and it was not a problem. And then all of a sudden, the round shoot around and whispers happen late that he's not going to go. What does his iffiness almost every game do to a team?
Yeah, no, I agree. And it caught me off guard. It really caught me off guard when I heard that. I heard that very late, like close to game time, you know. And because I wasn't really paying attention to it. I was running around. It was in Connecticut. I flew back. I barely got back to my house in time. I threw a couple steaks on the grill, and I'm like, ready to sit down for the game. I'm like, when Embiid's not playing, I was like, because he had a day off, and he played the game before. So, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's a little bit concerning because he's battling something that only heals through rest. And that's a tough situation. So you're going to be dealing with this probably throughout the entire postseason. And are you saying, does it affect the rhythm of the other guys? Because
yes.
You're just not – yeah, it does. I mean, but here's what's good. Here's what the good news is, and the takeaway from it is this. Obviously, if Joel Embiid plays and he plays his normal minutes or slightly reduced, and let's say – what did he play the other night, 23 or something, right, in game two?
Yes.
And he was so dominant in that third quarter, he took over the game. So he's so good that even if he plays 25 minutes, he's going to put up monster numbers. He's just that talented. And other guys fall back into their lane a little bit, and it's an adjustment, but there's a good adjustment, obviously. If he's not there, though, the good news is, Anthony, the way they responded last night, now you're at the point that you've had that kind of success on a night that he didn't play. Now if you hear that again as a player – you're an hour before tip, 2 hours before tip. Whenever they make that decision and everybody in the locker room finds out, now you go ahead and you get yourself back to that place. Game three in Brooklyn, this is what it looked like. And Tobias Harris and Ben Simmons and J.J. Redick and those guys, you know. It's just a different mindset, different mentality. Now you're out there a little bit more bouncing your step in layup lines just because you know the opportunities are going to be there for you early in the game, and you've responded to that already. So you have a point of reference to go to in your mind. It's really a psychological thing. But now that you have a point a reference of success, that's a really good thing moving forward if this happens again, which it probably will at some point.
All right, Legs, always great. I got to ask you a question that's important for the summer. This is personal.
Yes,
so
sir.
I got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, and the 9-year-old played for his school. The 6-year-old is loving, fell in love with the game. I got a nephew who's 12 who loves the sport, and I need them talk correctly. The Tim Legler basketball camp.
You know the spot. That's right, man.
All right.
You know the spot.
Do we have dates? Like, what's going on?
We've talked about it many times. I take a lot of pride in it, man. But the 9 and the 12, perfect. The 6, you got to wait a couple of years. We start him at 8. So you got to wait a little bit on the 6.
No, he's really 8. I said 6. He's 8.
Oh, I thought you said an 8 and a 6-year-old.
No. Listen, he is 6, but I'm lying.
I want him to play up.
All right.
Well, look, every year we have some 7-year-old studs that are in there, man, doing work on the 8-year-olds.
I'm telling you, the kid, he's got a handle. He's got a handle, Legs.
The camp, I'm proud of it, man. I built it up to something that I'm really proud of, and it's been packed and selling out every summer. It's year 12, believe it or not.
I've been in South Jersey
for 12 years, and now. But I got a big announcement to make, though. We have moved the location for the first time. So we were at Gloucester County Institute of Technology for years. We have gone to a state-of-the-art, you got to see this place to believe it. It's one of the best all-sports complexes anywhere in the tri-state area. It's right here in South Jersey and Pittman. And it's called Total Turf. And you got to see this place to believe it, Anthony. They got indoor baseball fields. They've got indoor football fields. They've got, I think, 10 full-size wood courts, electronic scoreboards. It's incredible. They kind of approached me last year, and we went over there and saw it. Once I saw it, I said, oh, my God, because it lets me expand the camp even more.
That's
so
awesome.
It's going to be at Total Turf Pittman. It's literally, you're talking 12 minutes from the bridges, not even from any of the bridges getting into from out of Philly into Jersey. And it's July 29th to August 2nd. It's always that same week, last week of July running into early August. So July 29th, August 2nd. If you want information, the best place, Tim Legler Basketball Camp. com. Everything on there you need to know is on there, or you can go to Total Turf's website as well, because there's a link on there to register and take a look at the facility. It's absolutely unbelievable, state-of-the-art, and it's a high-level teaching camp. I pride myself on the great staff.
The best. You want your kid taught by the best? Tim Legler, all right? I'm sending my kids there, all right? I want them taught by
the
best.
Get him over. He'll come back with a wet three-point shot, I tell you that.
That's it. I know that. Come on, brother. I know that. Hey, Legs, we'll be bothering you later in the playoffs. Great stuff. Happy Easter, okay?
Yeah, same to you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Yeah, Anth, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, brother. There he is, Tim Legler. I love him. He's great, dude. Great basketball minds. I love talking hoops with Legs.
That Total Turf place?
That's the real deal?
It's impressive.
I got to get the kids there. Get my nephew Joseph, too. Get them all three boys. Go play some ball. The little one's he's got the bug. I love it. Because now I'll be like Marinovich. You're not allowed to drink soda, man. Nothing. Nothing but green and protein.
Good.
610-632-0975 is how you join us. I've been talking about Union soccer all week, right? Tomorrow afternoon, Union look to keep the home winning streak alive as they take on the Montreal Impact. 1 o'clock, perfect Saturday, Talon Energy Stadium 2 weeks ago. The Union won at home against FC Dallas in dramatic fashion in the stoppage time game winner from the captain, Alejandro Bedoya. Philly enters the game with an overall record of 3-1. They look to capitalize on a huge opportunity in the Eastern Conference. The match is also part of the first ever doubleheader down at Talon Energy Stadium. Union kicks things off first at 1 o'clock. That's it. Fans invite you to stick around for the Bethlehem Steel match at 4. Plus, it's Kids Day. All kids invited to participate in a pregame egg hunt and a postgame parade around the field. It's going to be such a great day. Come grab some afternoon soccer, starting with the Philadelphia Union versus Montreal Impact. 1 o'clock. Tickets available. PhiladelphiaUnion.com. We'll see you there.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
One o'clock hour brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com.
All right, it is 1:35 on this Friday. By the way, the doppelganger for D'Angelo Russell, Boys in the Hood, Andrew. Dookie.
I could see that.
Dookie from Boys in the Hood. Remember, Dookie was in a wheelchair. He had the rattle. Tell me that's not D'Angelo Russell.
No, it's good work by you. It's a good pull. Now, I also have your Jeff Bridges.
That was the our caller who does Gabe on the Bring the Heat line.
Right, so you want to hear Gabe first? This is the Gabe from the Bring the Heat line.
Yeah.
Boys, it's the Gabe calling. Today's lesson, timing. Don't worry, Bryce will be just fine. He's going through something.
All right, you get the idea.
Yeah, okay.
So this clip, this is from the trailer.
This is Barney.
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland starts, and then it goes to Jeff Bridges, all right?
Why did you make contact with me?
Where you search for Diane, such a worthy opponent.
Come on, man! It's dead on!
It is.
It's dead on! It is. Tell me that's not dead on.
Hey, boys. It's great how he starts
it every time. Barney from The Vanishing. Jeff Bridges.
Hey, boys.
That's who, he's not Gabe Kapler. He's Barney. Oh, my God. I knew it. That's weird. I haven't seen that movie in years. Years.
Honestly, dude, I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. Why would you? It was like from the 2000, 90s. What year?
1993.
93.
I was born in 93.
Right. So what do I know, right? I haven't seen that movie in forever. I just remember they had the one line, Jeff, drink, Jeff, drink.
What?
Well, he had to drink the poison, and he was going to feel what it felt to his girlfriend. He got buried alive. That was the whole story. Anyway, last night, I want you to play one more thing because last night was fascinating. So I got a buddy of mine. Sometimes people call things. So one of the great writers is a guy named Gary Smith, formerly Sports Illustrated. I've talked about him before. He's been on the show. Brilliant guy. He's now a novelist. He was a great, great sports writer. He always delved into the psychology of sports. And so last night we were talking about Ben Simmons. And last night, he predicted this.
I'm expecting the Nets to start fouling him heavily these next few games and putting him on the line.
You know what? That's a great point. I often wonder why teams didn't play Hackett Benton a little bit more.
No, I remember, was it Detroit? Or somebody did it at one point early last year, and it hasn't happened again. I keep sitting here thinking it's going to happen, and it's probably going to happen in the playoffs, and it's just going to be painful to watch, but he's got to go through this crucible to make the corrections he's got to make.
Now tell me that's not awesome, Andrew. He's got to go through this crucible. That's a brilliant guy, Gary Smith.
It's great. That's beautiful words right there.
Right? But he nailed the Hackett
Benton. Yeah, you had him on at, what, like 6:30 yesterday?
Yes.
So 90 minutes before tip-off?
He nailed Hackett Benton. It's unbelievable. Jamil Frankfurt, let me get him up here. Jamil, happy Easter, brother. What's happening?
Happy Easter. Listen, I hate to be the swept rock to your wonderful parade of We Love Ben, but I got three things and I'm getting off the phone. Number one, Ben Simmons is not going to be able to do what he did last night against the elite small forward defenders the rest of this playoff series. You can do that to D'Angelo Russell. He's like 7-8 inches taller than him. You can back him down, shoot sky hooks, do go to the paint, do all that. But the one beautiful thing is Magic Johnson no longer works for the Lakers. So he can come in and help Ben get that push jump shot that he had in the
second. Let me ask you. I'm not saying that he's going to dominate the rest of the playoffs like he's dominated the last two games. It's just talking about growth.
Listen,
can't you see the growth?
The major growth he needs to have is to have somebody come in and give him a jump shot.
Again, let him grow. No, you don't.
Jamil,
you're breaking my heart.
When Ben Simmons first came to the league, I thought he was overhyped. I thought this is one of them players.
Hey, you want to be right. You don't care about the kid. You just want to be right.
No. I do care about the kid. I care about him a lot. I want him to develop.
Nah, you want to be right. They're like the rest of the haters.
So that he can, no, I want him to develop a jump shot so
dude,
he can be a
he dominated the game. Girl. Listen, I feel you. Him. Come on,
I
brother.
I want that deadlift swim fadeaway out of him at 6'11".
Dude, I hear you. I'm not telling you he's finished. I'm just telling you he's taking steps toward what he's supposed to be. Why you got to criticize today?
You're right. He is. He had an awesome game. He is making steps towards it.
My second thing is,
your Tukey reference, I got to go back and watch that movie again, but I think Tukey's a little bit darker than
No, I'm telling you. Watch the Tukey. He's got it. It just looks like him too. I'm telling you, that ring.
My last thing is I know y'all gotta go. Can we please draft some offensive linemen?
Yes.
In the draft,
I'm with you, Jamil.
Our offensive line is getting a little too old.
Yes.
And
we
need to get Carson more protection because he's going to be slower with his.
I agree.
He's going to need an extra 2 seconds.
I agree. I think you're right on. I like that. All right, brother.
That's my three for the day.
All right, baby. Say it.
Right,
take it easy. All right, we'll come back. Justin, we still have another segment, so hang. We'll run through as many as possible. It is the midday show. I'm about to say the morning show. Cuz. Let's talk about the Baxter. You know who's going into Baxter? Kate Smith's statue is in the Baxter. All right?
That's a one seed right there.
That's get into Baxter. But first, you got to hit it with a sledgehammer and smash it into a million pieces and then scoop it up and put it in the Baxter, because the Baxter can handle any job. As vile a job as possible, it doesn't matter. The Baxter handles it all. I love this product. 3-cubic-yard dumpster in a bag. Sold at Home Depot and Lowe's and local home improvement stores everywhere for just $29.99. The Baxter can handle it. Whatever your fall cleanup plans are, the garage, the attic, remodel, I'm telling you, the Baxter bag can take it on. You buy it, you fill it, you schedule your collection, and it's gone. It holds 3,300 pounds of waste. That's right. Just enough for Kate Smith's statue. No time limits. Completely on demand. Go to Baxter.com. Find the store nearest you for more details. This is Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up. The Baxter dumpster in a bag.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Will get it across midcourt and dribble away the remaining time. They're going to walk out of here with a victory in this third game and lead the series 2-1. Final 131-115.
Get excited!
All right. So we got planned for this weekend. Anything?
We got some Easter Sunday action Sunday. But Saturday, it's becoming a tradition. I go see my cousin in Doylestown. And we drink heavily.
Good. Good for you.
Yes.
And then you'll wait for the family up there?
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome.
Wake up. Now, it's a good time. Here's the only problem. His mom, my aunt, she is a baker. So she gets up at like 3:30.
That's the best.
So I'm getting home when she's waking up.
Yeah.
And they don't have a spare room, so I sleep on the couch downstairs. So she's chopping stuff.
Yeah.
I'm trying to sleep. I'm like, yo.
It's all right.
Come on, man.
That's good.
I'm the guest.
No, man, that's good. That's the part of the charm. That's awesome. Oh, I envy you. You could drink heavily. I'm on a writing deadline.
Ah. Well, the beer can help you out a little
bit. No, I don't do that.
Did I ever tell you about the time I applied here for an internship?
No.
What happened? We were pre-gaming in college before we went out, and then my friends fell asleep, and I was pretty...
Right.
Bombed. And I said, let me do something productive while I'm here. I applied to be an intern here.
No, you didn't. Did you?
I swear to God. Here I am.
Very good. Very good. By the way, out of your mind. Well, let me get up here. Let me get Chris in Collegeville. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Chris, hey.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Hey, so last night was one of the best games I think Brett's coach as a Sixers head coach. I love what he did with Ben, using him as a screener a lot more for the shooters. He kept JJ locked in on Joe Harris, didn't allow him to switch, just let him to stay on him the whole time, which I think was productive for the defense as a whole. The only thing I don't like that he did, to be fair on both sides, is Greg Monroe can't play, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the brother can't play, man. Like, let me ask you a question. Who do you think, it's related and kind of unrelated, but who do you think is falling off the face of the earth faster? Greg Monroe or Dominic Brown, when they're in their primes? Who's falling off the face of the earth faster?
I'm with you. I'd rather have, I wanted Jonah Bolden to play a little.
Me too. And we had talked about it last week when I talked to you, and I said that Boban might have a good chance to be productive in this series because of their lack of big centers that can spread the floor.
Well, look, your boy played well last night.
Yeah, and I think he did a good job. And I think Jimmy's like the big brother. Like, when you need him, he's just there for you. I mean, that's just simply his best. I think he thrives in that position with this team. I think that especially during the regular season, he's kind of let Ben and Joel and the younger guys kind of try to find themselves. And now this is big boy ball, man. The grown men win in the playoffs.
That's right.
And he's a grown man, and he's a big brother. That's how I look at him as, you know, his role in the team. And he's definitely shown that. And I think that I think I'm in on him. I think I want to keep him. I think that
thank you. You know what? And you should. Thanks, brother. We got to run. You're right. You should do that. You should want to keep him. He's a valuable asset. The role. See the role where I was talking about how those big shots. He takes – I feel bad. Let me get to Andrew in Boston. Andrew, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Andrew.
Man, what's up, man?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Isn't that the Vanishing? Is that the one where he gets him with the shovel at the end?
Yes.
Okay. One used to freak me out as a kid.
Yeah. Because Barney buries people alive.
Yeah. That was my biggest fear. That thing – yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, man.
But anyway – I got two questions for you. One's Phillies and one's Sixers. First one's Phillies, then I'll do Sixers and hang up. So for Sixers, if Joel can't play after this first round with Brooklyn, how far do you think they can actually go?
If he can't play?
Yeah, at the end. I mean, like, I know they played great last night, but, like.
No, well, they can't beat Toronto without Embiid. Like, you need Embiid to beat Toronto.
All right.
Yeah, like, there's no way in the world you can beat Toronto without Embiid.
That ends up happening, yeah. So, second one is the Phillies, and then I'll hang up and get your thoughts. So, you know, I had called in a couple weeks back about getting Kimbrel, and, you know, the only positive takeaway I have right now from this staff is that Arrieta's doing super well. You know, he's missing bats, his ERA and WHIP are reflecting that, but, you know, everywhere else, it's like I'm looking for a positive, and I'm not finding one.
No,
I mean,
dude,
where do you go from here?
I don't know. It's a great question. We're up against it, and have a happy holiday, all right, brother? We appreciate it. Hey, don't forget. The Mike Mish show's up next. Our handoff brought to you by Philadelphia Hand and Shoulder, specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, shoulder injuries and conditions. For more information, visit handtoshouldercenter.com. Everyone, have a happy, blessed holiday. Happy Easter to all, and we'll see you on Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.